Hey everyone, welcome back to Entrepreneurial Secrets. Today we get to listen to a chapter from a book called Traffic Secrets. It's the audiobook version of the Traffic Secrets book, and it's chapter one. The chapter goes deep into how to find your dream customer, and I'm really excited about it. The author of the book is Russell Brunson, and he is the co-founder of a software company called ClickFunnels. ClickFunnels, if you don't know, if you're not familiar with it, is a company that has created a software that is a sales funnel builder software. So you can go and create online sales funnels with real simple ease. I mean, it's amazing how simple and easy it is to use. So go check it out. If you have questions, hit me up. I'd be more than happy to answer them. I'm quite familiar with the software. But the book, Traffic Secrets book as well, if you want a free copy of the Traffic Secrets book, all you have to do is pay for shipping and handling. Just go to 1%summit.com/traffic secrets. It's an amazing book. I highly recommend it. And you'll see, listen to today's episode. Like I said, it's chapter one. If you like what you're hearing, go to 1%summit.com/traffic secrets. I can get you a free Traffic Secrets book. Anyway, hope you like it, and we'll cut to the intro. We live in pretty crazy times, and I'm not talking about a virus. I'm talking about a modern global economy that is shifting all around us, an expanding government that is printing money, and unemployment numbers that have not been seen in modern history. But what does this mean for us? I see it as an opportunity, a calling to solve the problems around us. It is my philosophy that in life, we always have a choice. You can stay down or get back up. But when you choose to get back up, you're choosing the path less traveled. The path where failure and growth are required and progression is the only outcome. Look, I'm no expert and I'm definitely not your guru. But join me as I learn what it takes to be a change maker, a leader, a visionary, an entrepreneur. My name is Ryan Peterson and welcome to Entrepreneurial Secrets.
Traffic Secrets, the underground playbook for filling your websites and funnels with your dream customers by Russell Brunson. Hey, my name is Russell Brunson, and I'm the author of Traffic Secrets, and today I'm going to read to you from the studio. However, before we get started, I want to make a quick informal introduction. I spent the past 15 years mastering the art and the science of getting the right people to come to my websites and my funnels with their credit card in hand. After learning how to do it for my own companies, I created simple frameworks to help entrepreneurs that I have the privilege of serving to get more traffic into their funnels. This book is a compilation of all of these frameworks. I'm a very visual learner, and so for each of these frameworks, I've actually sketched out doodles and put them inside the physical book, as well as screenshot examples and other charts and graphs to help make these concepts simpler to understand. You'll get a lot out of the audiobook, even if you don't see the sketches, charts, and graphs, but you'll get even more if you do have them. Because of that, I do recommend reading along with the physical book as you listen to the audiobook. We've also put together a special PDF with all the sketches and examples for our audiobook listeners that you can download for free at trafficsecrets.com/audio PDF. Thanks again for grabbing the audiobook, and I can't wait to help you get more traffic into your funnels. This book is dedicated to the entrepreneurs who I've been called to serve, my funnel hackers. You've made it possible for me to do a work that interests me and that I feel is meaningful and worthwhile. This final book in the Secrets Trilogy was created to help you find more of the people who are waiting to hear your message. If this book helps you reach even just one more person and change their life with your God-given gifts, then this work will have been a success. Forward by Dean Graziosi. $25,000. Did I hear 30? The voice of the auctioneer was fast and the suspense built as the bidding got higher and higher. Yes, I said. $30,000 from the black-haired gentleman in the front. 40, a voice behind me said. $45,000 from the man in the back. 45, I said. $45,000. I couldn't see who was bidding against me, but when the auctioneer finally arrived at $50,000, I decided to stop bidding. To my surprise, so did the person behind me. The auctioneer yelled out, "Number 27, you win the bid." I was number 27. I won. I was bidding to name a commercial Virgin Atlantic plane. Yes, I know that may sound pretentious, but it was for a great cause. About 12 years before writing this, I was at one of Richard Branson's charity events. I had met Richard several years earlier when a friend and I raised a lot of money for his charity, Virgin Unite. At this charity event, I decided to go all in. Richard was paying all the bills for the charity, and 100% of the money we donated was going to help those who needed it most. Well, the gentleman three tables behind me had come to the same conclusion, which is why it was going to cost me $50,000 to name a plane. After I won the bid, Richard stood up and proclaimed, "Why fight over it, boys? I'll give it to both of you for $50,000. It's all going to charity." The person who walked up on stage with me and who was bidding against me was a young man who looked 10 years younger than he actually was. His name was Russell Brunson. It was the first time I actually met him in person. What a charming guy he was. I didn't really get to know Russell until a few years later, but when I did, I realized that he was one of the most humble, smart, ambitious, energetic, and authentic human beings I'd ever met. What most impressed me was how he talked about helping entrepreneurs to grow fast. He talked about them as if they were his children and with an authentic excitement. That's very rare in our world today. Russell's focus was never on how much money he was going to make or how big his business was going to be. He always looked through the lens of how to help people go faster. He took that energy and passion and co-founded a company called ClickFunnels, which has revolutionized the way people use the internet to turn their ideas into sellable products and services. Russell has truly given people a faster way to make an impact and profit from their ideas. Russell's passion drove ClickFunnels to become one of the fastest growing software as a service, SaaS companies of all time, creating massive impact on tens of thousands of lives around the world. The overwhelming success people have gotten from using Russell's software and training is unprecedented, but that's not the only reason you need to read this book. The global economy and how we consume products and information has already changed drastically and will continue to evolve. Those who don't have the necessary skills and capabilities to sell their products and services, to market their brick and mortar companies, or to create funnels that bring customers to their door will be left behind. I'm not saying that to scare you, but understand I'm not just taking a wild guess. I see it coming, and I have the same passion Russell does. I've been blessed to be in the self-education industry for over 22 years. I'm a multiple New York Times bestselling author, and I've been able to start 13 companies that have generated over $1 billion in sales. These opportunities have positioned me at the edge of this world, and I can see the change coming. Is there any worse feeling than being left behind? Russell Brunson's passion for helping you avoid that feeling is why he wrote this book, and my shared passion is why I wrote this forward. This book reveals the most cutting-edge way to drive eyeballs to your product or service to help people find you. There's a classic movie with Kevin Costner called Field of Dreams. It's about building a baseball stadium in the middle of nowhere. The movie is great, but it sends a bad message that people will come simply by something being built. Unfortunately, too many people in business have taken the concept literally and have decided to run their businesses that way. They think if they build the best product or service, invent the best widget, create the best mastermind, or write the best book, the world will just find it. They think that as long as they have built the best product or service, people will just show up to buy it. The reality is they won't just come. Unless people know that you exist and you give them a compelling reason to come find you, they aren't coming. Without good marketing, your ideas will be just that, good ideas. Imagine looking back when you're 80 years old and feeling like you're just dabbling with 20 great ideas, but never really made the impact you desired. It doesn't have to be that way. Russell's expertise is massive and uses all of it in this book to expose the new way to drive the right people to your product, service, idea, company, mastermind, or book. He's giving you secrets that no one has revealed in this way before, and he does it in a simplistic manner that makes his lessons easy to absorb and understand. He reveals exactly how to drive traffic to your business, your product, or website. This is one of those books that, if consumed and applied properly, could be the game changer for your life. By the time you're done reading this book, you will understand so much more clearly why certain online companies are thriving and why others are struggling. You will understand why the businesses you started in the past didn't get the results you had hoped for. You might also realize that the reason why you're already doing so well and learn how you can do even better. The world has changed, and for those who don't know how to pivot, a life struggle may lie ahead. Or, less dramatic but equally sad, yours could be a life of purpose unrealized. A life in which you don't tap into the next level and you never reach your full potential. In this powerful book, Russell Brunson opens his heart and shares the tactics and strategies necessary to make sure that you reach your full potential. Hold on tight and discover what it's like to profit, make an impact, and create a company with momentum that thrives in today's world. Preface. You bring the fire, I'll give you the framework. On September 23rd, 2014, Todd Dickerson, Dylan Jones, and I launched a new software company that we naively believed would change the world. The goal was to create a product that would free all entrepreneurs and give them the ability to get their messages out to the market faster and easier than ever before, so they could change the lives of the customers that they were called to serve. The company we launched was called ClickFunnels. A few short months after we launched ClickFunnels, I released a book that I had been working on for almost a decade. I was a first-time author, and because my book was about sales funnels, something that was extremely exciting to me, but pretty boring to most others, I was nervous about how people would respond to it. That book was called Dotcom Secrets, and little did I know that that book would become the playbook for how people build sales funnels online and was the key to the initial growth of our company. When people understood how they could use funnels to grow their companies, well, they started to use funnels to grow their companies. A few of the core concepts that I first revealed in Dotcom Secrets were the secret of the value ladder and how you can use it to provide more value to your customers and make more money from every customer in the process. How to attract your dream customers that you want to work with and repel the types of customers that you don't want to work with so you only spend time serving the people that you enjoy being around. The exact funnels and sales scripts you can use to convert website and funnel visitors into customers and move them through your value ladder so you can serve them at your highest level, and a whole bunch more. As Garrett J. White told me after reading the book and applying it to his company, I already had the fire, but you gave me the framework I needed to grow. Over the next 2 years, that book became the underground playbook used by over 100,000 marketers to build their sales funnels online. But as ClickFunnels grew, I started to see a big division between those who were making money with their funnels and those who made funnels but weren't making any money. People had mastered the funnel structures and frameworks because of Dotcom Secrets, and they could quickly build those funnels inside of ClickFunnels, but some people weren't making any money because they lacked the basic understanding of how to convert their funnel visitors into customers. They didn't understand the fundamentals of persuasion, storytelling, building a tribe, becoming a leader, and communicating with the people who entered into their funnels. And so I began my second book with the goal of helping readers to learn and master the persuasion secrets that are necessary to convert people at each stage of their funnel. While Dotcom Secrets was the science of funnel building, Expert Seekers became the art behind successful funnels, helping people to move through your funnels and become your dream customers. That brings us to this book, the third and final volume in the trilogy, Traffic Secrets. Traffic is the fuel for every successful business. It is the people who are coming into your funnels. The more people you can get in front of, the bigger impact you and your company can have, which in turn usually creates more money for your company. As we watch members of ClickFunnels growing their companies with funnels, using the structure from Dotcom Secrets and the persuasion skills they learned from Expert Secrets, many people were still struggling because they didn't know how to get consistent traffic or people into their funnels. On the flip side, those who were getting traffic from Facebook or Google were nervous that if either of those sources dried up, they could lose their companies overnight. Traffic Secrets approaches traffic from a completely different direction than anyone has ever discussed before, less from the tactical fly-by-night operations and more from the strategic long-term model that will ensure a consistent flow of people into your funnels. The strategies inside this book are evergreen and will never change as long as there are humans on this planet to sell to. Each book in the Secrets Trilogy was written as a standalone playbook, but mastering the skills from all three books is essential for your long-term growth of your company. Because of that, each book refers to and ties in important concepts from the others. If you're interested in the most up-to-date information, I invite you to go to MarketingSecrets.com to listen in on my podcast, Marketing Secrets. It's published twice a week and covers everything we're learning and discovering in real time. I share new secrets every week for free that build upon the evergreen topics and frameworks that you're mastering in these books. I hope that you can use this trilogy of books to change the lives of the customers you've been called to serve. Everything written in these three books is evergreen and focuses on concepts that have worked yesterday, are working today, and will continue to work tomorrow and forever. Introduction. There's a storm coming. April 27, 2018 was the day that my kids and I looked forward to for a long time. It was the opening night of the movie Avengers: Infinity War. I've been a superhero fan ever since the first Iron Man movie came out, but not long enough to know the entire history from the original comic books, so everything that was happening in the movies was a huge surprise to me. This was the 19th movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and all of the prior movies had culminated into this epic standoff between Thanos and the Avengers. In the movie, you see Thanos as the ultimate bad guy, but he actually thinks he's doing good. He's concerned that the universe is overpopulated and he believes that it's his mission to save it. His goal is to gather all the Infinity Stones, put them into his gauntlet like a big glove, and then when he snaps his fingers, restore balance to the universe by killing half of the population. The movie ended, spoiler alert, with a huge cliffhanger after Thanos collected all the Infinity Stones and snapped his fingers. In an instant, half of the people in the universe disappeared. The next day after watching the movie, I was talking to my friend and fellow online marketer, Peng Jun, about the movie, and he said something that sparked an idea. That idea later became an event and since has resulted in me writing this book. Talking about the founder of Facebook, Peng Jun said, "Do you ever feel that Mark Zuckerberg is like Thanos and his whole goal is to wipe out half of the entrepreneurs who are advertising on Facebook? He could literally snap his fingers and half the online entrepreneurs would lose their businesses overnight." That statement quickly got my mind racing back to 2003, the year I bought my very first Google ad. I just purchased a book from Chris Carpenter called Google Cash. It showed me how easy it was to set up Google Ads and drive them to any website you wanted. It was simple arbitrage. I would spend 25 cents to get someone to click on my ad, and they would go to my website, and I would hopefully make $2 to $3 in sales for each click I received. At first, it seemed too good to be true, but I decided to set up my first ad in Google selling a DVD on how to make potato guns. When someone would search for potato guns or spud guns in Google, my ad would show up. If they click on my ad, charging me 25 cents, they would end up on my website, howtomakeapotatogun.com. A percentage of the people who landed on this page would then buy the DVD, and I became an instant .com thousandaire. I wasn't quite a millionaire yet, but if everything kept working the way it was in those early days, I would have been in just a few short months. But then it happened. People called it the Google slap, but for me, it looked like it was the end of my online career. My cost went from 25 cents a click to $3 per click or more. Instantly, half of the online entrepreneurs who were buying ads on Google, including myself, lost their businesses overnight. Most of the people I knew at the time who were making a killing on Google never recovered from the first Google slap. Most of us were confused about why Google would charge 10 times the price of our ads overnight. Soon, though, after the dust settled, it started to make sense. Google only wanted the big brands, the companies who could spend millions of dollars a month in ads, not the small guys like me who were just spending a few thousand dollars a month. The small entrepreneurs like myself only made up a tiny percentage of their overall revenue, and we were likely the ones who caused 90% or more of their headaches. They didn't care about us. They only cared about the really big advertisers. And what started as the best way for the little guy to have success quickly disappeared when Larry Page and Sergey Brin, the founders of Google, decided to give us small entrepreneurs the slap. In .com Secrets, I shared the way that I saved myself and my tiny little company from this Google slap was by learning how to use funnels. I changed my little potato gun website into a funnel where I could make more money from each visitor who clicked on my ads. Google's costs didn't go down, so I found a way to pay for those costs. I would spend the $3 per click that Google wanted to charge me, but then I would make $5 to $6 from everyone who came into my funnel. That strategy is outside the context of this book, but I write about it extensively in both .com Secrets and Expert Secrets. After that initial Google slap, the entrepreneurs who survived started looking for other ways to save their companies. Some turned to email marketing and others turned to paid ads on blogs and websites, but the majority of marketers started getting the bulk of their traffic from Google's free search platform. We all started to learn how to play the game. We'd get ranked really high for the core keywords that we used to pay Google for, and traffic started coming back into our funnels for free. Again, this seemed like it had to be too good to be true, but for years, this was the secret. Then one day, just like before, Google decided it was time to change things up once again. The next few years were known for dozens of new Google slaps that affected people who were ranking high in the free search results. Each morning, we would wake up hoping and praying that we were still ranking for the keywords we'd worked so hard to earn. But we were at Google's mercy. Our future was outside of our own control. Each slap would take out another huge percentage of entrepreneurs. Soon they started giving each of these slaps cute little names like Panda and Penguin and Hummingbird. But each new slap meant that a new group of entrepreneurs had to wake up to the reality that their companies had dried up overnight. They had lost all their traffic, and because traffic equaled customers, they had no business. The decade from the early 2000s to 2010 was a constant fight for most entrepreneurs to stay alive. Then in 2007, the dawn of a new era of online advertising started when Mark Zuckerberg introduced his new Facebook Ads platform. Just as Google did when they first opened up their platform, Facebook made it easy and affordable for entrepreneurs to buy ads. The costs were low and arbitrage was simple. Facebook's goal was adoption, to get as many people as possible and as fast as possible to use their ad service. And that's exactly what happened. For people like me, it was like the good old days of Google where I could spend 25 cents in ads and make $2 to $3 back for each click. Many of the entrepreneurs who I'm now coached started their companies around this time and have leveraged Facebook to grow their companies quickly. But for the marketers who have been around long enough to remember the earlier bloodbaths that Google and other platforms have put us through, the pattern of Facebook is almost identically matched what Google did when it started. Step number one, the adoption. Make the barrier of entry easy to get everyone in and using the platform. Step number two, the price hike. Slowly raise the prices to squeeze out the margins, killing off any entrepreneur who doesn't understand how to use funnels. And step number three, the slap. Kill off the 50% of advertisers who cause 90% of their headaches. If you spend less than $1 million per month on ads, you're considered a small advertiser. You only make up a tiny percentage of their revenue, yet you're 100 times harder to support than a big brand who cares a lot less about ROI and more about just seeing their brand everywhere. That day after the movie, Payne Jr. and I joke that instead of a Google slap, we're going to see a Zuckerberg Thanos, we've now nicknamed him Zanos, snap, where 50% of all entrepreneurs' businesses would disappear overnight. If you rely 100% on Facebook for your traffic, then this is your warning that a storm is coming. You should implement everything you read in this book so that you can protect your company and thrive during that storm. On the other hand, if the Zanos snap has already happened and you woke up one morning to a dead or quickly dying business, then this book is your answer on how to save your company and get it to thrive again. Over the past decade and a half that I've been playing this game, I've survived and even thrived during dozens of Google slaps, the death of email marketing, algorithm changes, the rise and fall of tons of social media networks, and the fragmentation of online media. The question begs to be asked, why did we survive when so many other companies have failed? Two reasons we survived when others failed. First, we understand how to use funnels. With funnels, we can make 5 to 10 times as much money for each visitor who clicks on our ads, so we survive and thrive when costs go up. Second, we have mastered the strategy, not just the tactics, behind getting traffic. And these strategies work on all advertising platforms in the past, the present, and the future. If you master these strategies, then no slap or snap can affect the lifeblood of your company. There will be another storm soon, just like there was with Google. It's happened time and time again, and we know that the greatest predictor of the future is the past. This storm is headed our way, and thousands of entrepreneurs are unaware. I feel like I have a moral responsibility to 100,000 plus members of our ClickFunnels community, and to the million plus entrepreneurs who follow me, and to anyone else who will listen to prepare them for this storm. Those who master these strategies will absorb the traffic, customers, and sales of those who are not prepared. Master these principles, and you and your company will thrive. An evergreen book about the fastest changing topic of all time? My biggest fear when I decided to take on writing this book was figuring out how to create a book about traffic that was evergreen. After all, how do you teach concepts that will last forever on a topic that changes almost daily? Every book that I've read about traffic in the past 10 years has focused on trendy tactics, which usually become irrelevant within months of being published. Oftentimes, they become obsolete before they even get to print. The tactics behind how to get somebody to click on an ad and come to your website literally changes daily. In fact, I know people whose full-time jobs are solely dedicated to keeping up to speed with the changes that Facebook makes to its algorithms and ads manager. If I were to try to give you the latest tactic or hack that works today, by the time you read this paragraph, it'll likely be wildly out of date. How many of us would have known 5 or 6 years ago that Instagram would be the powerhouse it is today? Who could have foreseen that messenger bots would be a really cool thing and then be almost dead in the water for a few months because of Facebook's legal troubles, and then shortly thereafter come back to life? What social platforms and technologies are still waiting to be discovered that we haven't even yet conceived? I then started thinking about the wake of the dead businesses I've seen in the past 15 years. So many entrepreneurs found temporary success because they figured out one way to get traffic or they mastered one tactic, for example, Google Ads or SEO. But then in one quick slap, they lost everything. I started thinking about why I've been able to not just survive during each of the slaps, but actually thrive. The more I thought about why we've done so well, despite the constant changes, the more I realized I didn't learn traffic the way that most other entrepreneurs learn traffic. Normally, most people learn how to get traffic in the following manner. A new website will become popular and quickly grow to a big user base where entrepreneurs will see an opportunity where they can buy or earn traffic on this new platform. For example, Twitter or Facebook. A group of early adopters start using it and they figure out the tricks to leverage the platform to get traffic. For the next few months or years, they use these concepts to mine out tons of traffic at very low costs. Eventually, more people find out about it and start using these channels. With more demand for this new traffic, the supply goes down and the platform starts charging more money for each click. An entrepreneur may see the opportunity that this new tactic has created and try to capitalize on it by teaching others how to do it. After learning how to exploit this new traffic, tens of thousands of new people start using the platform. Demand goes up, supply goes down, and the price quickly increases. Others see the success of this new course teaching this new tactic, and they want in. A few dozen copycat courses come out, and now there's a small army of people selling courses on how to leverage this new type of traffic. Demand goes up, supply goes down, and the price keeps going up. Somewhere in this process, you, or the marketing person on your team, sees the ad for the course, so you buy it, you study it, and you start leveraging this new loophole. How much you are paying for these ads will depend on how early you got in, which also determines how much success you'll have when using this tactic. Eventually, the costs will get high enough that most businesses will no longer be able to profitably use these tactics. Those who understand funnels will last much longer because they will make more money from each visitor who clicks on their ads. But this tactic will soon become obsolete. This process is how most people learn to get traffic to their websites and into their funnels. And that's where the problem comes from. How are you supposed to build your foundation for your company on a slippery slope like that? The reason why I am here today is because I started playing this game 15 years ago. There weren't any traffic courses teaching the latest tactics. The people I studied with didn't have the internet when they were growing their companies. The people I learned from were some of the old school direct response marketing greats like Dan Kennedy, Bill Glazer, Gary Halbert, Jay Abraham, Joe Sugarman, Chet Holmes, Fred Katona, Don LaPree, Eugene Schwartz, David Ogilvy, and Robert Collier. These guys didn't have the luxury of Facebook or Google. They learned the strategies of driving traffic before there even was an internet. Instead, they drove traffic with direct mail, radio ads, TV, and newspapers. These direct response marketers forced me to look at marketing and sales in a completely different way than people do today. They trained me on the core strategies of what makes a direct mail campaign work, how to get radio, magazine, or classified ads to profitably drive customers to you. The strategies I mastered during a decade of studying direct response marketing gave me a very different lens, which has given my company the ability to be on the front of the new trends, master the emerging tactics before most people even know they exist, see opportunities that are invisible to most everyone else, and laugh every time there's a Google slap or Zeno snap. Moving forward, you have to understand that traffic is people, and people are extremely predictable. The core strategies that I'm going to teach you will outlast and supersede any particular platform so that you can apply them anywhere. The big challenge. Some of you may be shocked or even offended that nowhere in this book, a book entirely about traffic, will you see a single image of the Facebook ads editor or a detailed explanation showing you how to set up your Google Ads campaign. I didn't put any platform-specific screenshots inside this book because I wanted this work to remain evergreen for you. The backends of each of these systems are constantly changing, and any snapshot I take today would be out of date before you even started reading. Instead, we'll be focusing on strategies that don't change, including identifying your dream customers, finding out where they are congregating online, learning how to work your way in, understanding how to buy your way in, creating your own publishing platform, building your own distribution lists. All of these strategies have one big thing in common. When the storms come, the user interfaces change, or the traffic moves, they will still work. They leverage the big media properties such as Google, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram when they are hot. But also when these platforms change, you can easily move to where the eyeballs go. It worked for me when I was forced to move from Friendster. Most of you don't even remember Friendster, do you? To MySpace, to Facebook. And it will work when we have to move from Facebook and Google to the next big networks too. This book will give you the safety and security you need to know that your business, traffic, and leads are all on stable ground. In section one, you will learn how to identify exactly who your dream customers are, where you can find them, and how to get access to them. In section two, I will show you the simple pattern you can use to drive traffic into your funnels from any advertising network, including Facebook, Instagram, Google, and YouTube. I'll also demonstrate how mastering the simple pattern will unlock the doors to a consistent stream of traffic on any of these networks. Finally, section three will reveal powerful growth hacking techniques that will help you to increase your traffic even if you don't have access to Facebook or Google or any of the other advertising networks. Mastering these growth hacks will give you the ability to build your traffic foundation on solid ground. I spent over 15 years learning and mastering these concepts and strategies, and I'm so excited to finally be able to share them with you right now. Section 1, your dream customer. The phone rang. It was Chad. Well, he was Chad to me, but to his patients, his name was Dr. Woolner. Hello? I answered. Hey man, I know it's late, but do you have some time to talk? I'm in a really bad place right now. Sure, I quickly responded. I'll be right over. Just 5 years earlier, Dr. Woolner had graduated with his Doctor of Chiropractic degree. Shortly thereafter, he moved his family to Boise, Idaho to work as an associate chiropractor for a new clinic in town. His goal wasn't to work for someone else, though. While Chad was an amazing chiropractor, he's an even better entrepreneur, and he wanted to start his own practice. He went through the process of writing a business plan, getting a small business loan, remodeling a new office, getting logos designed, and everything else that goes into starting your own business. I knew that business had been slow ever since he had opened his doors, but I didn't know how slow until I got to his office that night. I'm not going to make it, he said. We're out of money and we have no way to get more patients in the door. I spent some time talking to him about the situation and gave him some possible ideas to get more business. He then said something that hit me like a ton of bricks. I went to college for 4 years to get my degree, and then I spent an additional 4 years at chiropractic college to become a chiropractor. In all that time, not once did they ever talk about how to actually get patients to come to my clinic. Isn't that unbelievable? They could lock up an entrepreneur for 8 years to teach them a skill, but not even spend 10 minutes showing them how to market that skill? To me, it's the biggest problem with our education system, and it's one of the biggest issues that plague new entrepreneurs in any market. They believe that if they build a great product or create an amazing company, the customers will automatically follow. I see entrepreneurs who will invest every last penny they have to create the products and services they think will change the world without ever considering who their dream customers are or how they're going to reach them. They'll happily invest in coaching, product creation, design, education, almost everything. But when you tell them to buy ads on Facebook or Google, they freeze. Or when you tell them they're going to have to put in their own time and sweat equity to get visitors organically, they often think that they're above it. Some think, my product is so good, I don't need to pay for traffic. Still, others believe that they're entitled to customers because they feel they built a better product than their competitors. So they wait, all the while thinking, if I built it, why aren't they coming? Yet after coaching hundreds of thousands of entrepreneurs, I can tell you that people who put all their focus on creating something amazing, instead of also focusing on getting people to actually see what they created, are the people that fail. The biggest problem they have is getting their future customers to discover that they even exist. Every year, tens of thousands of businesses start and fail because the entrepreneurs don't understand this one essential skill, the art and science of getting traffic or people to find you. And that is a tragedy. I feel like I've been called and placed on this earth with a mission to help entrepreneurs to get their messages out to the world about their products and their services. I strongly believe that entrepreneurs are the only people on earth who can actually change the world. It won't happen in government, and I don't think it's going to happen in schools. It'll happen because of entrepreneurs like you who are willing to risk everything to try to make that dream become a reality. For all the entrepreneurs who fail in their first year of business, it's a tragedy when that one thing that they risked everything for never gets to see the light of day. Waiting for people to come to you is not a strategy, but understanding exactly who your dream customer is, discovering where they're congregating, and throwing out hooks that will grab their attention to pull them into your funnels where you can tell them a story and make them an offer is the strategy. That's the big secret. The good news for Dr. Woolner is that after that night, he started geeking out on funnels. He built a client acquisition funnel and learned how to buy ads on Facebook and Google. His funnel now generates new patients for him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and to this day, he has a thriving practice. I'm assuming that if you're reading this book right now, you have a product or a service or a skill that you focus countless hours on mastering. This book will become your education on getting people to actually see your art. This section of the book will be focused on answering two very important questions. Question number one, who is your dream customer? And question number two, where are they congregating? When you have a perfect vision of who your dream customer is, it becomes easy to find out where they are congregating. On the contrary, if you don't have perfect clarity on who that person is, it's really hard to find them. When you have completed this section, you'll know exactly who your dream customer is and where they are hiding so you can get their attention long enough to tell them your story. Secret number one, who is your dream customer? I don't know if Alexis will like this, said an executive at Sally Beauty Supply. Confused, my friend Perry Belcher said, what? He set down his new scented hand sanitizer that he had brought in to pitch at the meeting. He picked up his new UV nail polish, handed it to the group and said, okay, well, how about this product? He said. They looked at it, opened it up and smelled it. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Alexis won't like this one either, they replied. More confused than ever and now a little frustrated, Perry brought out his third and final product to pitch to them. In a similar fashion, they looked at the product, gave it a quick once over and said, sorry, Alexis definitely wouldn't be interested in this one either. More frustrated, Perry looked at the two executives he was talking to and finally blurted, who is Alexis? Is she the decision maker? Why isn't she in this meeting instead of you two? Is she here? Can I just talk directly to her? I know that I can convince her that your company needs to sell these products. There was a moment of silence, and then both of the executives burst out in laughter. Alexis isn't a person. She's our customer avatar, one replied. What? Perry asked. He had never heard of a customer avatar before. I'm sorry, I don't understand. Alexis isn't a real person? The executives just smiled at each other and then asked Perry to follow them into another room. When they entered the new room, he saw a wall full of pictures of Alexis, a fictitious character who represented Sally Beauty Supply's dream customer. The wall also featured a full bio about who she was, how many kids she had, where she lived, how much money she made, and the type of home that she lived in. The executives then went on to explain that everyone in the company was trained that when they made any decision about what product products to purchase, what colors to use in their stores or what branding, what ads to run, what promotions to create, what their websites look like, and what music to play in their locations, everything was run through the lens of Alexis's eyes. If it was something Alexis would love, then the answer was yes. If it wasn't something she would love, then the answer was always no. They didn't run a product-centric company. They ran a customer-centric company. Their customer avatar is what drove everything from the products they created to the ads that they ran. When Perry first told me this story, I had my big aha. Most entrepreneurs mistakenly think that their business is about them, but it's not. On the contrary, your business is about your customer. If you want customers or traffic to come into your funnels, then you have to be able to find them online. And if you want to find them online, then you have to start to understand them at a much deeper level. Becoming obsessed with your dream customers. The first step in this process is to become obsessed with your dream customers. Companies that become obsessed with their products will eventually fail. As we've grown ClickFunnels, I've seen this happen time and time again. Every company we've competed against, even though some of them had hundreds of millions of dollars in funding behind them, eventually lost to us because they were busy focusing on their products while we became obsessed with our customers. What do I mean when I say obsessed? Well, being obsessed with your customer means understanding them just as well, if not better, than they understand themselves. For many, this is the most difficult part of the process, even though you may have actually been your dream customer not too long ago. Often just remembering how you felt when you were trying to solve the very problem that you're now solving for people is usually hard. I was recently talking to my friend Nicholas Bayerly about the fact that most businesses are created from a problem that an entrepreneur had, and their product or service was a result of them figuring out the solution to that problem. Our mess becomes our message, Nicholas said. When you're frustrated about a problem you're having, you look for a solution. If you're not able to find the solution that gives you the results that you want, then you'll likely go on a journey to find or create your own solution. In that way, your problem becomes your business. In other words, your mess becomes your message. If that's true, then you need to look back in time to find the point where you were struggling with the same problem that your dream customer has now. Then you need to remember what you were feeling when you were in that pain. In our community, we have some amazing examples of leaders who have made their mess their message. And one of my favorite power couples is Stacy and Paul Martino. Years ago, they found themselves at a crossroads. Their relationship was broken. Paul had tried for months to stay, but eventually he felt so much pain that he decided to leave. As he broke the news to Stacy late one night, she broke down and cried. Her relationship was over, and the pain she felt was too much to bear. I won't tell their full story here, but the short version is that because of this experience, Stacy knew that to save her relationship, she needed to change first. She put in the work to transform herself, and in the process of her changing, Paul changed as well. After saving their own marriage, they developed a unique process to heal marriage that doesn't require couples work. Instead, they believe that it takes just one person in a relationship to change it for the good. Their mess became their message, and now they've dedicated their lives to helping others find relief from the same pain that they felt years earlier. With their unique systems and tools, they've helped to save thousands of marriages. In a society where more than 50% of all marriages end in divorce, the students who go through their program only have a 1% divorce rate. Stacy and Paul are successful at finding and helping their dream customers because just a few years ago, they were their dream customers. Because they really deeply understood the pain, they could identify their dream customers' goals and aspirations and can identify where they were congregating to help move them towards those goals. They are a product of their product. In the early 20th century, Robert Collier published one of the great books on copywriting, the Robert Collier Letter Book. In this book, he shares how to really understand your customers. If you're going to find them, persuade them to follow you, and hopefully change their lives with the products and the services you sell, you need to know and understand them better than they understand themselves. Collier believed that we as marketers should not be trying to figure out how to create the next amazing ad campaign, but instead we need to learn how to enter the conversations already taking place in the customers' minds. If you want to really understand who your dream customers are and where they are congregating online, you need to be able to enter the conversation that's already taking place inside of their mind and see the world the way that they see it. When you can truly understand the core pains they are trying to move away from and the core desires and passions they are trying to move towards, it becomes really easy to identify exactly where they exist online. As soon as you know where they are online, then you can hook them and bring them into your funnels where you can serve them. We will go into greater detail on how to do that throughout the rest of this book. Now that we have the foundation covered, let's dive into identifying your dream customers with the three core markets, sometimes known as the three core desires. The three core markets / desires. In Expert Seekers, I introduce the concept of the three core markets or the three core desires. The three desires, in no particular order, are health, wealth, and relationships. When people purchase any product from anyone, they're hoping to get a certain result in one of those three areas of their lives. So the first question you need to answer is this: which of these three desires is my future dream customer trying to receive when they buy my product or service? This is the very first layer to getting inside the minds of your dream customer. And for most people, the answer is pretty simple. However, sometimes people get stuck in this question for one of two reasons. Reason number one, my product fits into more than one of these desires. Many products can be marketed towards getting a result in more than one of these desires, but your marketing message can only focus on one of them. Anytime you try to get your potential customer to believe in two things, your conversions will usually cut in half, most times by 90% or more. To target two different desires, you need two different ads leading to two different funnels. Only focus on one desire with each message you put into the market. Reason number two, my product doesn't fit into any of the desires. This false belief was best resolved at one of our recent events where someone told one of my head coaches, Steve J. Larson, this exact same thing. Steve responded by telling the story of Gillette razors and asking which desire a razor fulfilled. At first, everyone was quiet, and then a few people started guessing. Health, another mumbled, or maybe, Steve then played one of the Gillette ads. In it, you see how the story develops. First, a man is shown shaving. After the shave, a beautiful woman gets closer to him, and then the two go out for a night on the town. Finally, the ad shows the two together back at home in their room. After showing the ad, Steve asked the question again a little differently. What desire was this marketing message created for? Instantly, everyone responded, relationships. Most products can fit into multiple categories, even if they may look like they don't fit into any category at all. But no matter what, the key is that your marketing message can and must be focused on only one of the three core desires. I want you to take a few minutes and decide which of the three core markets or desires your product or service currently fits into. Away from pain, towards pleasure. Now that you've identified which core desire your product or service is focused on, the next step to entering the conversation inside your customer's mind is to understand which direction they are moving. Every human being on this planet is always moving in one of two directions when they make a decision: away from pain or towards pleasure. Moving away from pain. The first direction that people can be moving in is away from pain. Let me show you a few examples of moving away from pain for each desire. Health, moving away from pain. I'm overweight and I don't feel comfortable in my clothes. I don't have energy and I feel tired all the time. I hate what I see when I look in the mirror. Now, wealth, moving away from pain. I hate my job and I want to fire my boss. I have no money saved. I'm scared I could lose my job. Everyone around me makes more money than I do. Relationships, moving away from pain. I'm in a bad relationship and I don't know how to get out. I feel alone. I want to feel what love feels like. I feel awkward and I'm around people I don't know. Each of those statements above are conversations that people are having inside of their own minds. While these are broad examples, when I actually wrote down the thoughts that my particular dream customer is having, I did three things to try to understand the conversations they were having with themselves each day. Number one, I wrote out hundreds of phrases that I used to say to myself when I was trying to solve this problem for myself initially. Number two, I looked online in forums, message boards, and groups to see what other people are saying when they're trying to get out of pain. And number three, I really tried to put myself in their shoes and wrote out what I believe people were thinking. Exercise. For this exercise, I want you to write down at least a dozen things that your potential future customers are saying or thinking as they're trying to move away from pain. This exercise is something that you should be continually doing every day. I'm always looking for the questions and the statements that people in my market are saying as they try to move out of their pain. Moving towards pleasure. The second direction that people can be moving in is towards pleasure. They don't have a desire for health, wealth, or relationships because they're unhappy. They have a desire because they are happy and looking for more. Let me show you a few examples of moving towards pleasure for each desire. Health, moving towards pleasure. I want to get six-pack abs. I want to be able to run a marathon. I want to eat healthier so I can have more energy. Wealth, moving towards pleasure. I want to buy my dream house or my dream car. I want to grow my company so I can have more impact. I want to learn leadership so I can grow my team. Relationships, moving towards pleasure. I want more passion in my relationships. I want to spend more time with my spouse and my kids. I want to meet more people through networking. Do you see how different these phrases are, even though they are addressing the same core desire? You can refer to the supplemental PDF to see them side by side. It's powerful to see that while everyone may be trying to accomplish the same goal, the reasons why they are doing it is almost polar opposites. Exercise. Now, I want you to spend a few minutes doing the second exercise. Write down at least a dozen phrases that people in your market who are moving towards pleasure may have running on a loop in their heads. The more phrases you can find, the more traffic streams you'll be able to tap into. So make it a continual process to identify and write down the conversations happening inside your customers' minds. And as you'll see in the next secret, understanding the phrases that are going on inside your customers' minds in both directions, moving away from pain and towards pleasure, will guide you to finding them. The searcher and the scroller. To really understand how to use the conversations that are going on inside the minds of your dream customers, we need to go back in time a few hundred years ago before the internet, before TV, and before radio to where traffic began. Until the early 1800s, people mainly obtained products based on what they needed. They would be in some type of pain, and they would go search for a solution to solve it. It started with food. Our ancestors had a desire for health, food. So they would search for food, kill it, and bring it home. In more modern times, we have stores. When you need food or something else in your home, you'd go to the local store, search for what you need, and buy it. In 1886, the Yellow Pages directory was created, and it was awesome for consumers because you could find exactly what you needed, and business owners had the luxury of people simply showing up, looking for what they had to sell. It seemed like the perfect solution, except for one thing. As a business owner, if you wanted to make more money or grow your company, you were not in control. You had to wait for people to have a need in order for them to come and to find you. But then, in 1927, the television was invented, and just 15 short years later, on July 1st, 1942, during the Brooklyn Dodgers-Philadelphia Phillies game in Ebbets Field, the first ever TV commercial aired. At the time, there were over 4,000 televisions in New York, and on that day, while families gathered around to watch the big game on NBC, it was interrupted by the first ever TV commercial. That ad, which was just 9 seconds long and cost only $9, featured a map of America with a Bulova watch clock face in the middle. At the end of the ad, a voice announced, "America runs on Bulova time." And with those 9 seconds, the shift from search advertising to interruption advertising had officially begun. People watching TV that night were not searching for a new watch, but as they saw the commercial and the pictures of the watch, it placed a seed of desire in their hearts and their minds. They didn't need this watch, but they wanted it. This TV commercial gave business owners a window where they could grab their potential customers' attention long enough to plant a seed of desire and show the perceived value of what they were selling. No longer would people only buy when they needed something. Now advertisers had the ability to create desire and sell people stuff that they wanted. This interruption advertising started happening in other types of media such as radio, newspapers, and direct mail. The process was simple. Get a captive audience, entertain or educate them, and then, when they have their full attention, interrupt them with your message. You can then grab their attention and create a desire for the product or service that you are selling. Nowadays, this type of interruption advertising happens every day around you, but I'm guessing you didn't realize how profound of an impact those advertisements actually made on your buying decisions. To show you how effective interruption advertising is versus traditional search advertising behind the scenes, I want to share with you a story from my friend Trevor Chapman. Trevor used to run a big sales team of people who sold alarm systems door to door. At the time, if you were to go to Amazon and search for home security systems, you would quickly find hundreds of options, each one competing on price. If someone had a need for an alarm and went to Amazon to buy it, usually they would buy the cheapest one that still had the highest ratings. Trevor then compared people searching online for home security systems to what his sales team did every day. He explained, "We would go down the street and knock on people's doors and interrupt them from their days. Minutes earlier, they had no desire for a home security system. Because we interrupted them, though, we had a small window where we could make a presentation and show them the perceived value of our home alarm system. This presentation would create a desire in them to buy the alarms from us. We would then make them a special offer that they could only get from us right there, right then. In less than an hour, we'd walk away with a monthly monitoring contract that would be worth over $2,999 to us in the next 5 years, as opposed to the $199 version they would get by buying the alarm on Amazon." It's interesting to note that when the internet started just a few decades ago, it followed a very similar pattern. It began with searches. People had some type of need, usually to get out of some type of pain, and they would immediately go to the search engines looking for a solution to their problems. Later, we were all introduced to social media through platforms like MySpace, Facebook, and Instagram. And just like the Bulova ad in 1941, in 2007, Facebook announced the first ever social interruption advertising with Facebook ads. People would be online talking to their friends, posting pictures, liking images and videos, and then suddenly your ad would show up in their Facebook feed. You had a small window of time to grab their attention, create a desire for your product, your service, and to make a special offer. The pros and cons for search. The pros for search-based traffic is that when they come to you, they're hot buyers who are ready to buy. This is similar to people who walk into your store or find you in the Yellow Pages and give you a call. The con with search-based traffic is that they're not just searching, they're also comparing options with your competitors. You got to be the price leader as well as the quality leader and the niche leader. People who are searching are also researching all of those things. So until you become good at funnels and offers, you're likely going to be trying to beat your competitors by lowering your prices. Unfortunately, trying to be the cheapest product is never a good strategy. The pros and cons for interruption. corruption. As a marketer, you can target people who are interested in certain people, ideas, TV shows, or bands, and then you can interrupt them with your ads. You open a small window of time where you can grab their attention and show them the perceived value of what you're selling. You no longer have to wait around for someone to come looking for you. You can now create desire in your dream customers. The pros for social-based interruption traffic is you can target warm traffic based on people's interests. Therefore, you can sell based on the perceived value of your product or service. The con for social-based interruption traffic is that because the customer isn't actively looking for you, you have to become good at your hook, story, offer, where you can grab their attention, tell them a story, and then make them an offer. We'll be covering how to do this in more detail in secret number 3. Now that you've identified who your dream customer avatar is, what their core desires are, and if they're moving away from pain or towards pleasure, the next question we ask is, where are they congregating? As you will learn in the next chapter, there are congregations where the scrollers are hanging out and congregations you can target for the searchers.
Hey, wasn't that great? Thank you so much for listening. I hope you got something of value out of today's episode. I recently reached out to a number of marketing and sales experts to see what they were doing to be in the top 1% of entrepreneurs. Now, a lot of them got back to me and I was able to interview them and ask them what secrets and strategies they were using in their business. A lot of these entrepreneurs are doing 7 figures a year and really know their stuff. The responses I received were astonishing. In fact, they were so mind-blowing that I decided to turn my video interviews with them into a free virtual summit. If you want to watch the summit for free and learn what strategies the top 1% of entrepreneurs are using to market and sell their products, then head over to 1%summit.com. Again, that is 1%summit.com to get your free ticket to the virtual summit.